So, today, oh, and if you're here, I meant to say earlier, if you're here and you're, you don't know what you believe, I know you come to a church service, but maybe you don't even believe in God, or you're doubting Him, or who Jesus is and all that, then that's fine. This is the place to process that thought process and ask your questions. It's absolutely cool to do that. But I want to talk today about prayer. There's all sorts of ways of praying, aren't there? We talk a lot about praying for the sick, laying hands on the sick. There's that sort of prayer. There's intercessory prayer, you know, praying for the country and for the city. We'll be doing that tonight at the bunker. We'll be praying for Leeds. I want to talk about a slightly different sort of prayer tonight, today. And my talk is called Short Prayers Count, which might sound pretty basic, but that's what I want to explore with you. It's interesting, there's a lot of humour around prayer as well, isn't there? I heard about a pastor who was praying for a church member due to go into hospital to have his headaches investigated. He was in Liverpool. And he said, "Lord, we bring John's head to thee. We pray that the doctor will find nothing there. Oh, Lord, touch his brains right now, right where he's sitting." Sorry, is that not suitable? Sorry. And Murray Watts tells a story about when he was... Murray Watts is he run a drama company and writes books and things. And he was recounting a period of his life when he was very pious. And he and his friend were at a bus stop, and they missed the bus. It went past them. And so they knelt and prayed with them. For another bus to come, and as they were praying with their eyes shut, kneeling, the bus, another bus went past, and he was reminded of the verse that says, "Watch and pray." It's not we're not talking about how to pray for the sick or deliverance prayer. This is more about those are sort of the objects of prayer. That so when we pray, what's happening to the person we're praying for or the thing we're praying about? This is more about what prayer does to us. Okay, the subjective issue of what happens to you when you pray. It's more about the prayer. There's lots of prayers in the Psalms. The first, there's three Psalms I'll put up on the screen. Just the first verse of each of these gives you an example of what I'm after. Psalm 141, verse 1. "O Lord, I call to you, come quickly to me." Psalm 142, verse 1. "I cry aloud to the Lord, I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy." Psalm 43, verse 1, "O Lord, hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy." There's lots of examples like that in the Bible, and they're interesting, I think, because they're sort of short and simple and from the heart. And I think there are ways of praying. I want to share with you some ideas about ways of praying which will help you become a prayerful person. So, Lord, I ask you to come. Thank you for your presence here during the worship and the celebration of communion, and I pray that you'll be here with the children next door as they have loads of fun. Would you be here with us as we study and think and teach us better how to pray? Amen. On the one hand, we've got Stephen Gerrard, naturally automatic, an example of, "Oh God, help." How many times have you heard people talk about how that, you know, that prayer in a time of desperation? Still didn't answer it, but that's on the one hand, that's what prayer's like. It's sort of this sort of spontaneous "Oh God" thing. But on the other hand, you may often feel that your prayer is dry and empty. You may feel that you're disqualified from prayer, maybe because your spiritual life isn't up to it. You think you're not a good enough person. You might feel guilty about prayer or about the lack of prayer in your life, suffering from PSA, prayer status anxiety. The psychologists call upward comparison. I can't enjoy my prayer life because there's always someone who is doing it better and longer than I am. So what's the point of me? Let's just have a little let me just tell me how when you pray, how do you, what sort of prayers do you pray? How do you pray? What is prayer for you? What do you do when you pray? What do you say? Just give me some examples. Which ones? Oh, the help. Oh, God, help. Yep. Yep. What other sorts of prayer? Prayers of blessing, yep, for other people. I beg your pardon? Yep, praying for peace. What sort of forms do you use? What language do you use? Conversation. The Lord's Prayer, like a set prayer. Yep. Yep, using scripture. Come on, this side, you haven't contributed. This side is winning 5-0. Anybody on this? How about anybody seen Bruce Almighty? You know, the shopping list? I have a shopping list. I have a list. I pray every day just because I'm like that, and I go through every day praying for all sorts of different things. Maybe a vending machine mechanism, you know. You sort of press a button, out comes an answer to prayer. Or meditation is another form of prayer, and reflection. The shout of despair, like that, or the shout of joy, or silence. Mother Teresa said, she was interviewed by a reporter, "When you pray, what do you say to God?" He said, "I don't say anything, I just listen." "So what does God say to you?" "He doesn't say anything, he just listens." "And if you don't understand that, young man, then I can't explain it to you." Saying things to God, journaling. Does anybody do journaling as a way of praying? I recommend that if you haven't done that. Just listening to God, arrow prayers, complaint prayers, like the ones often in the Psalms. "Oh God, why this?" See, everybody prays in different ways. Yeah, we found this when we were doing the bunker, this our sort of worship and prayer time in the Sunday evening, is that different people come with different expectations of how to pray. Want to do it in very different ways. So if you're an extrovert, you're going to love to pray with noise and color, with fervor and vibrancy and perhaps shouting. But if you're an introvert, you would rather pray in, maybe in solitude, or at least in silence with meditation or quietness. If you're a thinker, you want to pray through concepts or through scripture. If you're a feeler and somebody who likes to ride your ups and downs of your emotions, it's a roller coaster the way you pray. Or intuitives pray with, you know, cosmic possibilities, their vision and passion for what they can do in the world, what prayer can do in the world. Somebody who's a sensor would pray in the immediate moment. They want something to hold and to look at and to feel to help them with their prayers. Some people love to pray in a sort of creative chaos, all sorts of stuff going on. Other people want a disciplined, more military operation to the way they pray. And it's all fine. Every one of you is completely different. You're all wearing completely different clothes today. And your prayer lives will be equally different. That's absolutely okay. It doesn't mean that when you get together, you're not all going to be enjoying exactly the way everybody else prays. That's fine. That's called doing life together. Pray as you are, not as you're not. Pray as you can, not as you can't. There's some famous examples of prayer, aren't there? St. Francis of Assisi, "Make me an instrument to your peace." There's St. Patrick's prayer, "Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me." There's the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. 50 words for one of the most amazing combination of prayers ever. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's suffering and he's waiting for the crucifixion, he says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." That's his prayer. In Mark 15, when he's on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's his prayer. prayer of desperation. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible is in Samuel, where Samuel is a young boy. He's learning to be a priest, and he's lying in his bed, and he hears God speaking. Well, he doesn't know it's God speaking, just hears his name, and goes to Eli, the priest, and he says, "Did you call me?" And eventually the priest cottons on and says, "No, next time it happens, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And that response, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," is a prayer. It's a great prayer because it stops and he listens. They're not long prayers, most of them. Some are very short. And the Psalms are a record of many, many different types of prayer, long and short, complaints and praise. Everyone's different. Do you remember Smith Wigglesworth, who was a fantastic sort of amazing sort of a apostolic type of renewal preacher in the early 20th century from Sheffield? And he was once asked, "Smith Wigglesworth, you're a man of faith and miracles. You've raised people from the dead. You've cast out more demons than I've had hot dinners. Tell us, how long do you pray each day?" And he replied, "I don't ever pray for longer than 20 minutes. But I rarely go 20 minutes without praying." So if you're feeling a bit guilty about your prayer life or a bit uncertain about how to pray and how to grow in prayer, I want to just share with you some ideas and thoughts, starting with that short prayers count and how they can make you into a prayerful person. Okay? Sorry, do you want to hear about some of those? Yeah. That'd be a good idea. Or would you rather go and watch the cricket? Don't answer that. First of all, short prayers count. The evidence shows that when people pray little and often, it makes a difference. It makes a difference to them. The psychologists, when they try and analyze the common characteristics of people who seem to make life work well, who do life well, and in our language we would say become more like Jesus in their discipleship, when they analyze and try to work out, there's consistently a pattern of regular short praying in those people. They're people who pray frequently. But it's not the length of the prayer that matters, it's how often. So if you pray, say you're awake 18 hours and you pray for 5 minutes each of those 18 hours, you'll probably pray more than if you sat down and tried to pray for a significant length of time. Or if you prayed 30 seconds every 10 minutes, how much does that add up to? It's not the time that matters, it's how often. So short prayers count. Secondly, short prayers change me. There's a lot of research been done into the effect of prayer on the prayer, particularly in this thing about achieving well-being. A guy called Leslie Francis is a professor at the University of Warwick, is a leader in this. And he's demonstrated that praying frequently is associated strongly with living healthily and living longer, with a longer-lasting and satisfying marriage when you pray for each other, with positive character traits, so people with compassion, forgiveness, persistence, gratitude, those things emerge more with people who pray frequently. Fascinating. It's this whole thing of bringing each moment of your day to God, constantly turning to Him about the events in your life, and doing that changes you. It draws you into a relationship with your Creator, with the person who can heal you and can intervene in those day-by-day things, hour-by-hour things. It changes you. How do we learn to pray? Children learn to pray really early, and they love short prayers. Cognitive psychology tells us that young people take naturally to the idea of God and to prayer. They're somewhat confused about who God is, but then so am I. So, that's fine. And they will learn readily from adults. The thing you have to watch out for with children is that they have well-tuned hypocrisy detectors. They can tell a performance prayer a mile away. They'll see through anything like that. But they love short prayers. I remember when Alice and I were leading Vineyard Kids at Southwest London Vineyard 20, 30 years ago. Gosh. longer than that. And Josh was my eldest, was very small, and he was good friends with Marcus Mumford of Mumford and Sons fame. And Josh was ill one day, and Alison had to stay at home, and I was just with the kids, and there were only about 20 of these kids. And I explained, Josh isn't here, he's not well. So we pray for him and other things. And Marcus pops up and he prays, Jesus, Josh, better. That was it. Sat down. Let's play. Kids love short prayers. And they pray really well. They take things to God and they care for others through prayer. Now, we teach them how to pray in Vineyard Kids. Every week, practically, they're taught how to pray in one way or another. And they'll learn how to pray elsewhere as well. But frankly, guys, like everything else, they're going to learn to pray from you, their parents. They're going to watch you, and the way you pray is going to be the dominant influence in the way they pray and the way they learn to pray. Don't leave it up to Vineyard Kids to do it. Next thing is that prayers are wood for the fire. Sometimes we feel we can't pray because it's just too noisy, it's too distracting, there's lots going on. I can't concentrate. I certainly don't feel holy at this moment. But prayer is always burning. It's a fire that's always burning, and there's always wood that you can throw on the fire. Brother Luigi Gioia, who's a Benedictine systematic theologian in Rome, said this, the test that prayer is authentic is that you learn how to turn everything to prayer. Listen to this. Any scrap of wood is good to feed the fire. And the Psalms are like this. I read those three at the beginning. It's a cry for mercy. Every time that something happens to David, he turns it into this cry for mercy, cry for help, sometimes a cry for joy, good and bad. Psalm 142, verse 1, I read, but if I read the first two verses, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell my trouble. Before him, I tell my trouble. It's wood for the fire, his trouble. So you walk in to church on a Sunday morning, the kids are running around everywhere, and the parents are stressed, and the band is tuning up and making a lot of noise, and you're aware that one of the Methodists are looking a bit concerned as they go to get their tea. That could all be a distraction, an obstacle to prayer, or it could be scraps of wood for your fire. So it could be, Lord, I'm sorry for getting annoyed. Bless those kids. It could be, Lord, oh, just help those parents find some peace. It could be, help the guitarist get in tune quick. Thank you for what they do. It could be, bless the Methodists as they drink their tea. Thank you for them. May they enjoy their time together. Do you see what I mean? You take all those little things that are causing you grief and you turn them into a prayer. Someone cuts you up in traffic or nicks your parking place. Oh, God, why do people drive like that? Lord, help him to drive better next time. You experience a tragedy in your life. Alice and I lost our niece to a brain tumor a couple of weeks ago. Oh, God, why? That's my prayer. Why? What's going on? This hurts so much. It feels so wrong. How could you let it happen? That's my prayer. Friday morning, I got a phone call. I was deep into something, and I got this phone call from my colleague at work, and he said, hi, David, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine, thanks. He said, when will you be with us? I completely forgotten. I had a whole day seminar with him. That for me is just, for me, I'm a disciplined, organized person. I don't like being late, never mind forgetting. So for me, that I turned into, oh God, I hate forgetting appointments. Help me to get there and calm down. That was my prayer. That was my scrap of wood for the fire. Maybe you find yourself watching pornography or just lusting after a woman walking by in the sunshine. Oh God, have mercy on me. Make me pure. Give me self-control. Or you're really tired and every time you try to pray, you just doze off. I know not many of you will have experienced that. As I get older, it happens to me regularly. So, what's my prayer? Thank you for your presence, God. Be with me as I snooze. I'll see you when I wake up. That's my prayer. They're prayers that just emerge out of the detritus of daily life. When you experience sin or frustration or pain or joy or gladness, turn it into prayer. These things needn't be scraps of wood that trip you up, but scraps of wood for the fire. They can be fuel for the prayer or your prayer life. Short prayer is like taking off the bandage. When you get some damage, when you have a wound, Brother Luigi, he also talks about this. He says it's like taking your wound to the doctor. If you've got an embarrassing or an unsightly condition, maybe a skin condition or a wound, you cover it up, don't you? You don't tend to walk around showing it to everybody. You put a bandage on it. But when you go to the doctor, you don't leave the bandage on and give him a long explanation of what it looks like and how it feels. You take the bandage off so he can look at it and do his healing thing. Our sin, our brokenness, is often an unsightly wound which we keep covered up. We can't heal it ourselves. We don't want others to see it. But in prayer, we could take it to the great doctor. And we can simply admit our sin and brokenness. And he has seen it all before. And he loves to extend his merciful healing touch. And finally, short prayers are like breathing. Prayer is always going on. I think I'm trying to give you that impression that as soon as we start to pray, we realize that it's already been happening. We're already in prayer. Because prayer is more than just starting to talk or even starting to listen. Prayer is about being in a place with God, aware that He is always with us, that His Holy Spirit fills us. Prayer is about a way of living a life of prayerfulness, becoming a prayerful person. So our prayer starts with, "Oh God, oh Lord, Father." That's the way it starts, because He is always there and we turn to Him. At any moment we turn, He's there. And He has heard it all, seen it all. We could take it to Him. See, when you decide to follow Jesus, if you've decided to follow Jesus, when you decide to do that, His Holy Spirit fills you. He's there from then on, always. So you're with Him. After the resurrection, Jesus said, "I will be with you always." This is the essence of prayer. The resurrection is the essence of prayer. If we believe in the resurrection, we know that He's with us and we can turn everything over to Him. It isn't just a conversation. So somebody calls me on the phone and says, "Where are you?" And I would say, "I'm with Alison." I don't need to say, "I'm talking to Alison" or "I'm listening to her," which is more likely. I say, "I'm with Alison." And you could call me, and I could say, "I'm with God." I may or may not be actually in talking to Him or listening to Him, which is hopefully more likely. But I'm with God. Do you see what I mean? It's a state of being. It's a way of living. It's becoming a prayerful person. Prayerfulness. A prayerful person is more confident. See, what happens is, when that becomes your way of prayer, those short prayers on a frequent basis, you become more confident to step out in prayer for others. So sometimes when we suggested to you, "Come and pray for the sick, you know, join the team who pray out there on a Saturday, or come forward here and we'll pray for the sick," or in your house group, and you're thinking, "Oh, I can't do that." If your life is made up of lots and lots and lots and lots of little prayers, of the sort that we've been describing, then that becomes a much more natural step to take, much easier. You're more confident to share your faith with others. Jesus is with you. You've spoken to Him a lot. You're listening to Him all the time. It's easier to share your relationship with others. And other people can see what's going on in you. A life with lots of short prayer changes you. People recognize it. "Why are you so at peace in this situation?" they ask. "You seem to be trustworthy. Can I ask you something? I'd like you to pray for me. Don't quite know why, but you seem to have some faith." You can't manufacture the presence of God in your life, but you can turn to Him with short prayers often, and you will become a prayerful person. It becomes like breathing. He's just there in your life. Okay, so I've been rabbiting on for 20 minutes or so. Has anybody got any questions that are buzzing around in your mind? have I said anything that you think that doesn't stack up? Or okay, fine, good. Let's summarize. I've been explaining that prayer doesn't have to be a big super spiritual activity. It's not something you need to be in sort of a special state, in a quiet place. It doesn't need everything to be okay. Short prayers count a lot. Everyone prays differently. Pray as you are, not as you're not. Pray as you can, not as you can't. The things that might frustrate us or bring pain, or we might think of as obstacles to prayer, are actually those thoughts, events, feelings can actually be fuel to throw onto the fire of prayer. Prayer is a conversation in which you can bring anything from your life and what's going on in your head to God, whether it's good or bad. It's a time of speaking and listening. Prayer is a place where you are with God. He's just there with you. Always prayers going on, like breathing. It's a state of being. You become a prayerful person. So I want to invite you to recognize that God loves you and he's with you. And if you haven't already done it, just to surrender to his love completely, unconditionally, hands up, I surrender to your love. Know that he's with you. And take everything to him in short prayers, the good and the bad and the ugly, often. May your life become a place of prayer. And may you become a prayerful person. I just want to pray for you. How should we do this? Some of you will have come and you'd like us to pray for you. You're unwell, or your finances are in a mess, or you've got a relationship that's broken up or something. I would love to pray for you. You can either turn to somebody who looks like a Christian near you and ask them to pray for you, or come up to the front and I'll find somebody to pray with you. But I'd like to give you a chance to respond to what I've been talking about. So why don't we stand and we'll pray. As I've been talking, it may be that this is a whole new concept to you, the idea that God is with you all the time, and that you can just have that ongoing conversation with him. And this is an opportunity for you to respond and start speaking to him. You want to know his presence like that. For others of you, I think you may feel in a dry place. Your prayer life hasn't been fruitful recently, or hasn't been sort of active, and you haven't felt great about it, and you'd love that to change. You don't sense his presence as much as you'd like. And some of you just want to have a fresh start in your prayer life, and the fact that I said that everyone is different is sort of thing, oh right, so I can do this. And you just want a fresh start. Or maybe you just feel guilty and somebody's got to you and made you feel bad about the way you pray. I'd just like to pray for all of you. In fact, I'm going to ask you to come forward just because I think in actually making a step, you're sort of doing a deal with God, not for any other reason really. And I'll ask you to come forward. We'll just pray for you up the front here. Could a couple of guys just take these tables away? Create some space. Don't come forward yet. Let me just pray and then I'll invite you to come and we'll pray for you. Thanks, Ben. So let's just pray. Let's just ask his Holy Spirit to come. This is very precious, isn't it? That the God of the universe who loves you and made you wants to be so close to you that you can have that. You don't even have to speak like Mother Teresa. You can just be with him. Isn't that precious? You don't have to pay money or be good. You can just turn to him Every scrap of wood is wood for his for the fire. And Lord, we're so grateful to you that you've given us this gift of prayer. So if you'd like us to pray, if you want to respond to any of those things I said earlier, would you like just to come to the front and we'll pray for you now. So if it's if you're feeling guilty that your prayer life isn't as good as it could be, or if you just want a fresh start in your prayer life, if you feel in a bit of a dry place and you want to know his presence, we'd love to pray for you. Alison, Mike and Helen, can you come and pray? Ben and Kate? Andrew and Sally, can you come and pray?
I have got this picture in my mind and it won't go away. So I think it's the Lord. Sometimes he gives me pictures in my mind and I think it's for somebody here. So it's like if somebody chewing on like black peppercorns and I think somebody said something maybe to you or to somebody that you know and it's left you with that horrible taste of just bitterness. And I think the Lord wants to just free you from that. So if that's you, I'd love to pray for you.
So these guys are just going to pray. They're not going to preach at them or quote the Bible. They're just going to sort of bless them with what God's doing and responding to what I've been talking about. And they'll see a change in their prayer life as a result. They'll see a change in their relationship with Jesus as a result. People will come to them seeing there's something different about them as a result. They will start praying for the sick in new ways and see God's power come. Lord, I ask you to come. I ask you to fill them with your Spirit now. I bless what you're doing. I bless their response to you, and I ask you to answer the cry of their hearts. So thank you for coming today. Lord, we thank you for what you've spoken to us today and for the worship and the time we've got together. I pray that you'll be with us this week. We may walk in your ways and hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like us to pray for you or you want to respond, do come to the front. Otherwise, have a fantastic week. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today.